Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Access Astrology. My name is Ann Ortley, and I'm an astrologer here in New York City, and I'm broadcasting tonight from my bright red desk. And I am joined on the show by Heather.
This is Heather Rowan Robbins speaking to you from Seattle tonight. Mm-hmm. On the banks of the Pacific Ocean, not the Mississippi River, where I usually am. So happy to be here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Mark?
Mark Waltz in New York City, over by the Hudson River.
So we're bicoastal tonight.
We're bicoastal. We've got both coasts covered.
Yeah.
And what we do here on the Access Astrology is we talk about the weather in the sky and what's going on above our heads, the heavens, and how active they are, and then how it works down here on Earth and how we can work with it, use it productively to help us get what we want and get where we're going and figure out the world. So it is the eclipses
That's
are
awesome.
Leaving. The eclipses mm-hmm. are leaving. We're almost done. We end them on Saturday. Eclipse seasons end on the new moon. So it's been an interesting eclipse season.
Mm-hmm,
it was
mm-hmm.
2 weeks before the March 20th.
Mm-hmm.
So what's that, March 7th on. And, you know, when the nodes of fate meet the suns and the moon, meet up on the nodes of fate,
mm-hmm.
that's what we call eclipses. They happen twice a year. And we started with a new moon lunar eclipse. A new moon solar eclipse, rather, at 29:27 Pisces, which, of course, is the last degree of the last sign of the zodiac. So it was a big releasing energy.
Mm-hmm.
And then last week we had an eclipse at 14 of Aries and Libra, but the interesting part was the Sun and Uranus were both on the south node, again, of releasing. And then this week on Saturday we have a lovely new moon at 28:29 of Aries, again, the last degree of the first sign of the zodiac. So it's kind of like
mm-hmm.
this real interesting story that the heavens are telling us. And then in the middle of all this, in the just eclipses are a big enough deal, we had the last of the Uranus-Pluto squares, which has been going on. There's been seven of them. We had the last one on the 15th of March in eclipse season. We had Saturn stationed to go retrograde in eclipse season. We had Jupiter stationed to go direct in eclipse season. And then this week we have Pluto stationing to go retrograde in eclipse season. So it's kind of like the heavens are really giving us a lot of information and a lot of twists and turns and inviting us to step into a new life and to take some of the old life, which is shifting, changing, moving, and kind of gently. Doesn't have to be no drama. You just have to kind of turn a little
mm-hmm.
bit away from it, and then suddenly you're in a whole new place. So I have to say it's been a real roller coaster. I know I've missed a couple of weeks because it's just been crazy. But and
mm-hmm.
I don't even, you know, and it's not even big in my, I mean, it's big in my chart, but it's not that big in my
mm-hmm.
chart.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
what have you guys been noticing with all this drama in the sky?
Just about everything. I hear so many people at turning point moments in their lives. Now, some of us, I just feel like we're going along and there's just an unusually loud level of static. I am in a house with two grandchildren, two dogs and two cats, and four adults and a teenager. So it's kind of chaotic here. Visiting family, but it's that level of high energy bouncing off the walls seems to be across the board. Every, you know, mood swings, cooking left and right, as if the whole world is in one giant construction zone at the moment. And with moments of beauty in the sunshine, where everybody feels relaxed and lovely, a few wonderful new romances showing up in my client base. But so many people at a turning point trying to decide which road they're going to take with their career, with their relationships, with their spiritual practice, and feeling very unsettled about it, but also very excited and experimental. It's sort of, I can feel this coming, you know, with the people making, throwing their hats into the ring for the presidency. And I hope a few more people throw their hats into the ring. But that sense of what are we throwing our hat into the ring for? Now that the last Uranus-Pluto square has left, although we will be feeling it for the next 3 or 4 years, we are past that peak, we can begin to build some momentum. And I see that coming when the sun and the moon, right after that new moon in Aries coming up, and they both, the sun and the moon, go into Taurus, into a very fertile, rich time. Now, Jupiter will be squaring Mars this weekend, so we're not done with the feistiness and the unusual flares that ask us to take a response and make it happen now. But just feel that energy coming up. Feel that the ground is being prepared. We've been plowed. What do we want to plant? Mark, what are you noticing?
Yeah, it's definitely, there's a letting up of pressure in one sense, and sort of a speeding up on another. So the kind of tenseness, it has gone away for the most part. But there's kind of still got to get it done mood in a lot of folks. So if you're feeling that's you're not alone. And it is time to get things going and use the momentum that's been built.
Now, I'm staying here with a son-in-law who likes to watch sports. So to bond, I've been watching baseball, which I never wouldn't normally do, and watch the Red Sox, the Yankee game recently. And there was a young rookie who just, hit a home run with the bases with three people on base and did some amazing moves for a rookie. And so I went and looked up his chart. His name is Mookie Betts, October 7th, 1992. Then he has the sun at 14 Libra, Mars at 14 Cancer, and Uranus at 14 Capricorn. So he's got a grand trine that's being set off by the Uranus-Pluto trine square. This is his first year in the big leagues, and he looks pretty spectacular. I don't know if he'll keep it up, but it was a good example of, sometimes these transits look like they're hitting us, but they're thrusting us into an opportunity to really use ourselves. It's our time. Make the most of it. So if you find these strange opportunities this spring, when the universe says, "Well, hey, you want to run for second base? Do it."
Mm-hmm. Well, Heather, you're really a great sports fan. Everybody's watching the game, and you're looking in your ephemeris, right?
I am.
Everyone's reciting all the statistic on the baseball player. How many runs batted in and all that, and Heather's over there. Well, he's got Mars and
Cancer. Yeah, why is he doing so well? Yeah. I mean, that's how I watch, I watch politics, I watch sports, because if you do that as a student of astrology, you watch an event and then you look up what's going on astrologically, and the headlines teach you about astrology.
Yeah.
And this was a beautiful case of how to use it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good.
There's just a new layer of sports trivia, right?
Right. your astrology chart. Yeah. It's good.
Right.
Yeah. It works.
No, it is. It's a good way to analyze
things. I think
his
moon's either in Aquarius or Pisces, and I think it's in Aquarius because he's such a good team player, but who knows? But it was, it's the kind of thing that you can put out in a hypothesis. Yeah. And watch what unfolds over time.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's good, because we're losing Derek Jeter. We need somebody that can hit baseballs. That's good.
Exactly.
I've been using Derek Jeter for many years as my out-of-bounds moon guy, teaching, what an out-of-bounds planet works. And I'm like, I don't know, now that he's retiring, who am I going to use? But, it's good.
When somebody hits the ball totally out of the park, Yeah.
Well, and out of bounds in a good way is a home run, and out of bounds in a bad way, it hits somebody in the stands in the head.
Yep.
And, the Yankees come in and take him out and give him money and send him to the doctor. And, we say to Derek Jeter, hit a home run. And, when you go out of bounds in a good way, you get a lot of praise for it. Out of bounds in a bad way, you get
somebody's hurt.
Yeah. Somebody's hurt, right. Or that's when people say, when you get like this, I really don't know what to do with you. And so that's an out-of-bounds, usually an out-of-bounds planet. that you get that reaction on. And you say, you know, I don't really know what to do with me either. My planets are out of bounds right now. Speaking of which, Venus goes out of bounds on Saturday till June in Gemini. She's out of bounds. Yeah, and also almost of May, Mars and Mercury are out of bounds too. We're going to have an out of bounds May.
And
I was looking at Venus.
Can you explain what out of bounds is?
It's a wild baseball going out of bounds.
Mm-hmm.
It's a home run, or it's in the stands at 100 miles an hour. And what it is declination.
Yeah.
Yeah, declination.
Right.
So it's where the planets are on the face of Earth. You know, we look at where they are in the zodiac above us, that they're in, you know, 29 this or 17 of this, Aries or Taurus or whatever. What declination is where the planets are on the face of Earth, because what they do is they follow the apparent path of the sun, which is called the ecliptic, and the sun goes as high as 23, 27 degrees Cancer, which is called the Tropic of Cancer, and it goes as low as 23, 27 degrees of Capricorn, which is called the Tropic of Capricorn, and that's because Earth is tipped 23 degrees and 27 minutes, and we pivot crooked, or we rotate crooked, I guess. The sun goes up and down. It's what gives us our seasons. So when a planet, normally the planets follow the sun, nice little soldiers that they are, because the sun's the big guy in the solar system. And on occasion they don't. And when they go above 23, 27 Cancer or below 23, 27 Capricorn, hi, Remo, they're considered what's called out of bounds, which means they don't follow the rules. They do what they want. And so they're good and bad. You know, it's not a bad thing to have an out-of-bounds planet, but usually what happens when you have an out-of-bounds planet is you're known for that. Or when that gets activated, it has a mind of its own, and it just does stuff. And, obviously we're in charge of our choices, but you can find out-of-bounds planets tend to have bigger skill sets in the area that they're in. So you just watch it. But this spring, we're all going to have out-of-bounds Venus, and then next month we have out-of-bounds Mercury and Mars, too. So it's going to be an interesting spring because the planets are all going to be a little feisty and not following the rules after having gone through these eclipses where we've gotten very clear on what we want to do next or where we want to go next. So there's a lot of energy about the direction of our lives. But, of course, out-of-bounds planets have a lot of surprises in them. So we like them for that, too. They kind of are full of tricks. Yeah. So is that do you guys would agree with that? Would you add anything else to out-of-bounds?
In terms of
how they show up?
That it's always got that unexpected edge. And I think it's very interesting that we've got, and you mentioned Venus out of bounds.
She goes out of bounds on Saturday.
As the Hillary Clinton's in presidency, the campaign really kicks into gear. And, you know, love her or hate her, doubt her or wish her well, it is a female out of bounds. It is a female taking that risk and stepping out of role. And that, you know, that itself is worth it. And I think we'll see a lot of that. Whenever I see Venus go out of bounds, I see women doing unusual things, women breaking the role, and the potential for men to access their own emotions in a different way than they usually allow themselves. So I'm looking forward to that. I know you can also have some very difficult relationship issues come up during this time, but I think that that's a good side for it.
Well, I think what it does is it makes everybody go, you know, it makes the planet go, you know, why am I doing it this way?
Exactly.
What am I doing that for? You know, it has it question things. So, and certainly the people that have been very innovative in the world that have created things that we all look at and go, wow, that, you know, until you thought of that, we never thought that could happen. They often have out-of-bounds planets. The pioneers, the inventors, the people that hop on planes and go to the moon or hop on jet fuel. You know, you think about it, they're sitting on a jet fuel thing, you know. They're basically on a stick of dynamite, you know, and they get launched into space and say, yeah, I'm going to go try walk on the moon. You know, that kind of derring do, or that kind of craziness, depending on, you know, your perspective, is very typical of out-of-bounds planets. So this spring, with all these planets out of bounds, is going to be a really interesting spring. And, of course, the babies that are born now the projects that are begun now are going to be very unusual or past normal in their – so it's an excellent time to kind of launch stuff and get it out into the world, because the universe is like, okay, we're going to give it a little extra spin, whatever you get out there. Because it's we've got this extra goose of energy in it. So kind of cool, actually.
That is.
I'm looking forward to it. Yeah. So all to the good. And these out-of-bounds planets do keep us on our toes.
Suggestions for people this week. What can we help them work on?
Let go.
I see, let go. That there's a lot of finishing up in this last new moon. And we're in the dark of the moon in Aries. There's a lot of feistiness. There's a lot of chaos. But anytime you can finish a conversation or open the field, don't try to make anything happen yet until the new moon, and then the moon enters Taurus. And you can, it's a very fertile weekend to plant after, you know, afternoon on Saturday. Very fertile couple of days at the beginning of the week to plant ideas, resumes, thoughts, actions, relationship issues. So, get everything ready. Plow the fields. Finish conversations, because there's a lot of old emotional charge that's up in the air. And we can either rewound and reattach, or we can let go, as Anne says, and begin to clear the room for something new. And that's between now and now through the weekend.
Right.
Mark?
Yeah.
As you're
letting go, realize what's coming in and carrying you forward, because it's kind of as a wave crests, it's also pushing you forward. So take the ride, and that's a momentum that'll move forward, all the way through the spring.
Yes, and it's a good time not to plant resentment. Because anything we plant next week under that waxing Taurus moon, and even more so next month under the new moon in Taurus, but the waxing Taurus moon is one of the most fertile times of the year. And that means that you can, whatever you plant, if it's something lovely and wonderful that you want to grow, it does. If it's something heinous and difficult, it grows. So be careful what you plant this week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
And more
you don't really ever want to consciously plant heinous and difficult, but sometimes it does need to grow, or there's something in your life that wants to grow it. So if it is a difficult situation, it really is about, thinking about what your choices are in it, because there always are choices about how to proceed and what your role is. I know with me, I've been happy. These eclipses have hit my chart. More importantly, members of my family's chart really hard. And I have been, my sister keeps laughing and referring to me as a mama bear, and I'm like, I am. I think I need to kill them. Instinctively, I don't want to kill them. And I know, but at the same time, I find myself, when left to my own devices. In high dudgeon, stomping around and yelling. And I also recognize not my story, not my fight, not my whatever, but my protective gears are up, right, with the eclipse. So the other part of it is also look and say, okay, there's all this energy flying. How can you best use it? How can you best direct it in a direction, and what can you do to help it express itself productively, creatively, in a way that actually serves you, rather than you're spending it on something that you can't really do anything about, or it's not your fight.
Remember that very often we can't control our first thought, but we have a choice about the second thought.
And our actions.
Yeah,
and we may need to use that next week as Mercury and Mars conjunct, square Jupiter, and trine Pluto. And again, it's going to be a good time to put in, you know, some real effort towards what is important to us. But it may be a time when we have to be decisive to end something in order to begin the next chapter, and to look a little deeper and a little deeper at our own responsibility as well as and our own ability to fix.
Mm-hmm.
And next week. It's a surgical set of aspects.
It's a surgical, what did you say?
Yeah, I think of Mercury-Mars conjunction and Mars square Jupiter and Mars trine Pluto all about what do we need to cut away in order to create health and what do we need to focus and create that way.
Oh, interesting. Okay, that's an interesting take on it. I hadn't thought of it that way, but yeah, that's why I said surgical. Okay, so what we're really looking at is precise control over where we're spending our energy and our time.
Right.
So that we're like a surgical precision. Yeah.
Right. And it may be that we have to cut away one expense so we can afford something else. We decide to not follow up on a friendship that is just not feeding us. That we, you know, create room for what can feed us. Like not to cut away what does not grow corn. You know, if you're planting seeds and the seedlings come up and, you know, some are healthy and you have to pull the rest so the healthy ones can grow. It's kind of sometimes some difficult set of aspects there. But it's if you can allow yourself to be decisive and with the eye on the goals of health and happiness for all, I think we can get a lot done with that.
Yeah. And then I guess you would say, you know, if you're, because this is where, you know, this is great to be an astrologer, but sometimes it's hard to read your own chart. So when you're looking at situations where you're deciding which plants to pull and which plants to leave, being aware that whatever you pull or plant will be a harvest.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got it. That harvest energy is ultimately what's going to happen with it. So then your job is to go, okay, how do I need to harvest this or not?
Right.
So
in
the,
the planting season, look at where it's going to go to.
Yeah,
there were people on the line, but also we have a Mars-Jupiter square before we do them. Any comments on that? Because that happens this week, too.
I think of that as part of that aspect that, you know, we have to do lots of Mars. And that lots of Mars is what, you know, exercise. It's being full of life, but it's also sometimes cutting away what needs to be cut. That Mars-Jupiter aspect can make people a little hot under the collar, a little frustrated. I mean, it can exacerbate military situations. And it can make it, you know, that we need to become mechanically astute because there's some mechanical problems. So it both gives the ability to solve problems and it can increase accidents and feistiness, is what I've noticed.
Yeah. Mark, you?
What about you too?
Yeah, it's that impulsive quality that we have to watch out for.
Right. Especially because he's in Taurus and he's answering to Gemini. You know, Mars is anyway. Yeah. So Gemini is always like, well, there's a couple choices on this. How do you want to proceed? And then we get into, well, what do we want to do with it? You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so we have one caller, and we will take them. Hello, 585-613, you're on the air. How can we help? Hello? 585, you're on the air. No talking. All right.
Okay, guess we're not on the air.
Guess we're not on the air.
So we'll go back to...
All right, and then there's no other callers, so if there's anybody who would like to call in the 5 minutes remaining, guest call-in is 347-215-8881, 347-215-8881. If you have a question
We had a question online. about a court case for tomorrow morning for someone who felt falsely accused and what will come out of that court case. So I'm going back and looking at that. And does anybody have a sense? It's, I believe it's in New York, but I'm not sure. I don't have the exact
time
for that.
Yeah, 10 in the morning grand jury downtown New York.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing I noticed is the moon's void, so nothing will come of it. So I thought that was good.
Mm-hmm.
Or there will be, you know, whatever will, you know, whatever comes of it, nothing will actually come of it.
Right.
So that part was helpful. That doesn't abate the anxiety of, you know, being accused of stealing. The person in this case was accused of stealing an expensive watch, and you know, felt her reputation was besmirched, and that the woman who accused her was lying on some level. So I'm not quite sure, you know, what
the
whole background.
Do they have any solid evidence in either direction?
Right. Just that her watch, it was a massage, and the watch was stolen as part of the massage. Mm-hmm. So
so I see the, when I see the dark of the moon, it often, you know, I see the chance of this being over, this just being finished. Finished and done, and the Mars-Jupiter exact square, I have a feeling that, and with the aspects coming up, that the sense that people will be looking for the real culprit rather than this woman, because I don't think there's enough evidence in this case. That doesn't mean she's going to calm down. I think this is really, this has been an unsettling set of aspects. But I don't have her chart. I just have the chart for the morning. What's going to be important for her is to stay calm, cool, and focused rather than defensive and feel kind of crazy, because the aspects, you know, with the moon in Aries, it's really easy to get hot under the collar and get outrageously defensive. We also have Venus moving into a square with Neptune. That's another aspect we haven't talked about. And that happens over the weekend. And that, you know, we're not feeling particularly realistic right now. And it will be, you know, you, if you're dealing with someone with an illusion, they can really hold on to their illusions with a Venus-Neptune square.
Yeah.
And it, but in this case, to keep her eye on just very clearly, my reputation is my world. Why would I do anything to define my reputation? Interrupt with it. I need to stay clear, clean, and focused, and come across as calm, cool, collected, focused, and outraged that you would be accused of this, but not over the top. Just,
right.
You know, it didn't. You didn't do it. It didn't happen. You don't know who did. You'd like to have her, help her find out, but you can't help her find out if they think you did it, because you didn't. And then, and meanwhile, they've wasted time finding the right person.
Right, right. They weren't working in the right thing. Yeah, yeah. And I think
move the focus to finding what actually happened. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah, and I also like when I go to court. I often advise my clients to invoke Archangel Michael, because he's really good at this kind of stuff. In terms of, you know, the evidence being presented, or, and you actually, I mean, I've actually had clients say, I heard something whisper in my ear, turn the picture over, and the date on the picture was 2 years earlier than the court case was for, and, you know, and then said to the judge, sorry, this picture's old. So, you know, work with your guides, work with your angelic realm, too, because they can help, but they can only help if you ask them. So,
yes.
And you do, it is a void moon, so the good news is it's a void moon. So nothing should come of it, or it should be handled and go. So that part's good.
Right. Good luck.
And so, yeah, good luck with it. So, and the British lady spoke. So we are done, I guess, or close to done. Wish you all a happy new moon. It is an excellent moon on Sunday, with the moon in Taurus, and the sun, moon is exalted in Taurus, and the sun is exalted in Aries. So a number of people have asked me for dates to launch things or blogs or something like that. Excellent energy, because it's a new moon.
Excellent.
We're out of the eclipse, and Venus is in Gemini, which gets good press. So, and if you don't launch anything, definitely take Heather's advice and launch a health program or a career program for yourself, because it's a great weekend to do it on that new moon.
Or plant a garden.
So,
Great.
Or plant a garden, right?
Right.
Yeah.
All right, so Ann Orley signing off from New York.
Mm-hmm. And Heather from Seattle.
Mm-hmm. And Mark Waltz from New York. Thanks for listening.
Wonderful.
We'll catch you next week.
Good night.
Bye. We'll be back next week. Bye, all.
Bye now.